The last few weeks, we've been looking at prayer, and this week we will be, and probably the next week or a few weeks coming from now, because relationships are based upon communication, and so our relationship with God is based upon communication with Him, and prayer is the name that we give to that, or has been given to it. And throughout this year, we've been looking at Jesus, the way that Jesus acted, what Jesus did, what Jesus said, the emotional things that we know of Jesus. And so prayer is something that He modeled for us. And if we only learn the words of Jesus in prayer, we're missing part of the equation. We also need to learn the way that Jesus prayed, not just learning how to repeat some lines of a sentence, but actually seeing what was it that Jesus did and how did Jesus pray. And so in the last 2 weeks, we've looked at gratitude and having a heart of gratitude. We've looked at forgiveness and how that plays in with prayer. And today we're looking at Jesus avoiding busyness, slipping away, and finding time just to spend with God without having all the other pressures of life put on Him. When I was asked to become a pastor here, I remember having some communication back and forth with a man. He said his expectations for the pastor would be this, that he would in some way be available 24/7 for people to get a hold of him and talk to him, and said, well, after all, I mean, Jesus never took a vacation. Now, I don't think that the word vacation is used in the Bible. I don't know if they really have a word for vacation in ancient Greek, at least. But is that really true? Was Jesus this type of person that was always busy, everyone could always get a hold of Him, and He never had moments that He took to get away? And I think that we can find that in the Bible. If I was going to try to prove that premise, that Jesus was always super busy, I would be the type of person that would start with the book of Mark. The reason why I say that. So in the Bible, we have four biographies of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written by four different guys, 40 different audiences. And so they take different angles on things. Matthew is a little more scholastic approach. He clumps ideas together where he has the teaching together and miracles together and parables together. And he also takes a lot of time to look at the old Hebrew scriptures and how Jesus fulfilled those. So he's the more scholastic one. Luke says that he does it in an orderly way and that he tried to keep it more chronological as he went through. John was probably written last, and he was able to read the other ones and thought, I'm not going to put in all of the same information some of them had and add some of the personal touch as well, things that he knew from being closely related with Jesus. But Mark is known as kind of the active gospel. It's the shortest one, and Jesus is going around and moving. It uses short sentences that makes the story go along really quickly, and it uses words like immediately. Then Jesus immediately went there, and Jesus immediately went there, and it's a very fast tempo kind of story. For what it's worth, I've heard that often if there are Bible translators that are going into a people group that don't have the Bible, haven't had that before, they learn their language, and then the first book of the Bible that they'll translate is the Gospel of Mark, because it is short, short sentences, easy to go with. So if Mark is the active one, or portrays the story in an active way, he's the one where I would start with. I would go, okay, if I want to make Jesus look like he's a super busy person, I'd go with Mark. And so I'd start reading from the beginning, Mark chapter 1, and by the time I got to verse 35, this is what I'd run into. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a solitary place where he prayed. I can't even get out of chapter 1 of Mark without finding that Jesus, instead of rushing around everywhere all the time, he gets up, gets away from the crowd of people that he can, and is spending time in prayer. Jesus prioritized his time alone with God. He found a place where he didn't have the cell phone ringing, not that he would have had a cell phone, but he found a place away from all the people running and catching him. He found a place away from those that would try to ask for his time. Instead of Jesus waking up and going, oh, let's wake everyone else up and say, I have to heal you now. I have to do this. Or finding the next person and saying, well, okay, lessons begin at 5 o'clock in the morning. I have to start teaching you. Jesus, before he gets himself into his work of the day, spends time alone. Now, some people will use these and then say, oh, you have to just spend time with God in the morning. That's what Jesus did. Well, if you listened to the sermon a few weeks ago, we did have Jesus prayed all night long. So for those of you who are night owls, that you love to stay up late, but you're like, oh, I have a hard time getting up in the morning, Jesus also prayed at night too. So don't worry, I'm not going to make you become a morning person that gets up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. just to pray. Really, any time of the day is a good time to pray. Even on the night where Jesus instated communion, what we celebrated today, it says that after Jesus had had that meal, he went out with his disciples to an olive grove, the Mount of Olives, as was his custom, we're told, as usual. And so he went out at night just so that he could spend some time in prayer. And his disciples were there, but then he says, hey, you guys stay here. I'm going to go a little further. So any time of day, Jesus found a good time to spend with God. So Jesus withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. But then in verse 37, we're told that Simon Peter and his companions, they came looking for Jesus. And so they find him and say, don't you know everyone's looking for you? So Jesus has got away to pray, and everyone is trying to find him. And Jesus is like, Jesus doesn't care. He doesn't say, I'm so sorry. I was just taking a little me time. But yeah, I can get back to what you need. He doesn't say, oh, I'm just finishing up. I'll go with you right now. The strange thing is that afterward, in Mark 1, they say everyone's looking for him. And Jesus says, you know what? Let's go to some other villages. There's more work I have to do. So it's not that Jesus was lazy. Jesus was a hard worker, but he didn't always give in to people's demands. There were times when people said, Jesus, stay with us longer. And he said, no, actually I need to go. And then there are other times people said, come right away, come right now. And Jesus said, I'll be there in a couple days. I mean, even one time, one of his good friends dies, and Jesus shows up 4 days late. And they're like, why did you take so long? Jesus doesn't always give in to people's demands of, we have to rush here and rush there. And I know, in myself, and for many people in this church, we can have that feeling of, if someone asks me, I need to rush and do this, and I want to keep people happy, and if they need something, let me run. And there are times where we need to not wait. There are times where, if you have the chance to do it today, do it today. But there are times where we have to make sure that we have given time and attention just to be alone with God and not rushing off to the next thing, even if it's a good thing, even if it's a church thing. There's times where we need to make sure that we have some time alone. Last weekend, Christine and David, my son, had both gone up to Amsterdam. So I was a bachelor at home. It was kind of nice. And on Saturday night, I had two different offers from people. One of them was, hey, you want to come over and watch a movie at my house? Another person said, oh, you just want to come hang out with us and have dinner? And honestly, both of them sounded like great options, and I really wanted to do it. And as I was kind of praying about that, I felt like God said, just say no. Spend some time alone. Stay at home. I was like, are you sure about that? Because this would be kind of fun. And I felt like God said, no, really. Just stay at home. Yes, you can run off and spend time with people, but I want to spend some time with you. And so be listening for God with that. In Luke 5, we're told that it wasn't just a one-time event where Jesus got by himself. The news about Jesus is spreading all over. Jesus is healing people. Crowds are excited because they want to run to him. And in the middle of all this, Jesus doing so much good for people, says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He was working hard. He had tons of people around him, but still he found time to get away. And we should do the same thing. Talked a little bit in the past about things called spiritual disciplines, or I would call them spiritual exercises. They're things that we can do that helps to sort of exercise us so that our spirits are stronger. Just like you have physical exercise and that makes your physical body stronger. There are spiritual exercises where we can do that. Things like fasting we've spoken about in the past, or memorizing the Bible, really learning the Word of God. And prayer is a part of that. And there are two other disciplines that I wanted to look at a bit today. And solitude and silence. They're sometimes separate or sometimes put together. But this idea that we spend time just to be quiet and just to be apart from people so that we can give our affection and our attention to God. My brother was an example of this for me. I remember when I was younger that he would take one day a year and try to go 24 hours without saying a word. Not because someone had dared him to or bet him to, but he just said, I want to spend one day without it being focused on what I'm saying. And he wanted it to be that reminder, just like when people decide they want to fast and they say, I'll go one day without food, so that every time that I want to eat, it's a reminder to turn my attention to God. And so with silence, the similar thing, every time he wanted to speak, it was a reminder to turn his attention toward God, a reminder of his own weakness, maybe a reminder it's not our words that control the world and make everything happen, that it's good to listen to others as well. But he's not the first one I know of many stories where people who said, I'll take some time in silence. And I think that's good for us to sometimes get the busyness out of our own heads, as well as to find silence around us if we can. Maybe that's out in nature somewhere. One of my best friends in college, what he loved to do was go climb up on a mountain. That way he could have as much silence as possible. And those were the places where he really felt connected with God. And that's okay. Believe it or not, God can speak to you even when you're not sitting inside of the Stay Okay hostel or at some sort of church activity. Not that God doesn't speak here. I really hope that he does speak to you here and that you listen, but it can be good sometimes to just go for a walk. With all the other stuff going on in our lives, I know that can be hard, but even this morning, I have a baby son. I just strapped him on me and went, I'm going for a walk. That way, I can spend some time listening to God. And for a little while, I was listening to David whimpering. Ah, but after about 15, 20 minutes, he fell asleep. And then I could give my attention. Jesus, in Matthew 6:6, actually recommends that we do this. And this comes right before Jesus telling us the Lord's Prayer. But he says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. So Jesus recommends, hey, find ways to get out of all the busyness of everything. Get away from that. Now, I know the danger with this can also be then people start going, oh, well, then the only time I'm allowed to pray is actually when no one else is around. No one can really know that I'm praying. Even just this last week, I was talking with one of the guys from this church, and he brought up around that area, it also says, when you fast, don't let everyone know you're fasting. And when you pray, don't go shout on the streets. He said, so does that mean I'm not really allowed to like let anyone know that I'm doing these things? And if we look at Jesus' life, that's not the way Jesus acted. I mean, Jesus prayed out loud, and people heard him. Jesus prayed in groups with people. But Jesus made sure to find time alone as well. So this isn't telling you you can never pray with someone else around. It's just saying don't make your intention for prayer for other people to see you. Because at the time he said there's people, they stand on the street corner and they pray really loud and everyone knows they're a praying person. That's great. Jesus says don't get in the middle of that. Don't impress people with your prayers. Just pray. No matter where you are. When I was in university, there was a spot on our college campus, and it was called the Columns because there were these large columns that had been a part of a building before, but the rest of the building burned down, and they just left the columns standing there. So they're just there kind of holding up the sky. There's nothing else around them, but they look pretty. They look nice. There's six of them in a row, big white columns. And a group of friends and I decided near the end of our first year, hey, let's just get together to pray every day. And the easiest place to find on campus was, we'll just pray at those columns. So at 3:00 each day, Monday to Friday, we would show up at the columns and stand around kind of in a circle or sit around or whatever. And sometimes it was windy and rainy and cold and no one else was out there and we're just the weird people standing there. And other days there are tons of people around, but we just decided we want to be faithful with this. But after a few weeks or a month, I had a friend that came up and said, I don't know if this is okay to do it, because in Matthew 6:6 it says, like, go into your closet. And so is us praying together at the columns being wrong? Is that showing off too much? And I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. Even after Jesus has died, resurrected, and gone back into heaven and tells his disciples, go out into all the world, we're told that there were often times where they prayed in very public places. But again, it's not so that you can get people to think that you're super spiritual. Don't be a show-off in prayer. Just pray. One of the interesting verses, when I read it, I went, how does this work in their brain? In Luke 9:18, we're told that once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, and then it goes further. I went, wait a second. Jesus is praying in private and his disciples are with him. Private. People with him. Private. People with him. Does anyone else get that that seems weird to you? Private, you think alone. Somehow for Jesus, he could be kind of alone with God and with other people at the same time. And that's something that I'd love to see as a part of our church, that there are times where we can be together as a group and yet still, in a way, alone with God, giving him our attention. Not lonely because we're not connected with the other people in our family, but that we're around each other, but we're all focused towards the same person. We're all focused on God. So our Jesus life step today, the kind of what do I do with this, is just make space in your schedule to spend time alone with God. Often. Not just as a, I did this one time, but if we really want to be like Jesus was, if we want to follow in the way that Jesus did it, then we need to make sure that we're finding ways to kind of get away. I think it's the mother of John Wesley, a man who grew up and became this very well-known preacher. But he said, my mom, the way that she found the way to get away from all this is when she was making dinner and she'd be peeling potatoes, she would take her apron and just put it over her head. That way everyone else is kept out. And we knew as kids, when mom has her apron over her head, don't bother mom. Mom is praying. I think she had a house of something like 8 kids. It wasn't one or two. Like it was a full house. And even in that, a woman who made sure to take time and found a way, I will give God my attention and whatever it takes to somehow block the other things out just so that I can listen to him and talk to him. So there are two opportunities that, three opportunities we have coming up in this church to just focus more on God, maybe by yourself or just like Jesus was in private, but in a group where we can be in a group and praying. One of those, the prayer meetings on Tuesday and Thursday morning from 7:15 to 7:45 up at Fort St. Peter in the parking. We did it this last week. We had, I think, 7 people on Tuesday, 6 people on Thursday. So I was glad some people came. There's definitely room for more up there. If you had to work around 8 o'clock or so, please come and pray with us. And if you show up late or if you have to leave early, perfectly fine. It's just that we're there giving our focus on God. Another opportunity that's coming up, I've been talking with Michal, and we said, you know what, we want to start having more prayer meetings as we can. And so tomorrow, Monday, at 7 o'clock at their house, they said, if people want to come over, we'll just meet up at their house and we'll pray. And then, as I said in the announcements, the third option we have is this Friday to Sunday, we're doing the 48 hours worth of prayer. And you can pray at your house, or there are houses in, there's one in Belgium, and also the Staines house, McCall's house, they've also made that available several times. So if people want to come over, you can take a slot and pray there either with someone. You can pray with your family. You can pray with a friend. Or you can just say, me and God alone, I'm going to find a space. I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the night when no one else is willing to do it. That way I can just be alone. So, I mean, this week can be full of prayer for you. There's plenty of opportunities for that, right? But it's not about just making sure that you log in hours and be like, okay, so I've spent this much time in prayer, that'll make God happy. The idea, just as it was with Jesus, is he just wanted to make sure he spent time. He wanted to get away, get all the clutter out of his head, so he's not checking his work emails, he's He's not rushing off to the next thing, not worrying about, do they have enough things for dinner so I have to run to the grocery store. Just to take time and say, you know what, I want to spend time in prayer. Even a short one for me this week. I was supposed to have a Skype appointment with a friend of mine, one of the nights at, I think, 7 o'clock. And I was running a little late, and it was like 7:10, and I was kind of feeling bad about it. Went, okay, I'm going to rush home, turn on my computer, and just do that. And I felt like God gave me this kind of check and said, man, just first take 5 minutes, listen to a worship song, but just focus on me first instead of rushing off to the next thing. And okay, I'll do that. Instead of doing that, just a few minutes, nothing that was specifically long, but a time where I decided, like, instead of making myself rushed, I want to enter this conversation being at rest myself. When I opened my computer, I saw that he said, I'm going to be 30 minutes late, so don't worry about it. I'll be at 7:30, which worked out nicely. And then I went, oh, I could have spent even more time before I turned my computer on. But it can be as short as that. You can take 5 minutes, or it can be a whole day. There are people who go on prayer retreats where they say, you know what, I'm going to buy one of those train tickets that you can travel around all day, and I'm just going to go as far as I can up north in the Netherlands and sit on a beach with a big blanket, because these aren't warm beaches in this country. But I'll go up there and just spend a couple of hours by myself and then hop on the train and come back. And there's tons of ideas and opportunities of what you can do. So this week, as you go out, you're given the opportunity to prioritize time with God. It's your choice. What will you do with it? Because I know a lot of us are busy people. But as I've heard said time and time again, you have time for what you prioritize. There's lots of things that can fill our time, but you have time for what you prioritize. And most people I know, nothing else, are able to make sure that they eat a little bit every day. I very rarely have heard anyone that said, you know what, I forgot for days and days and days to eat. I was just so busy. It can happen for a meal. It can happen for two meals, maybe even a whole day, before you end up getting to bed at night and going, oh, wait, I didn't eat today. But it doesn't keep happening from anyone I've met. And the same, I think, can be true with prayer, that when we finally remember, wait, it's been a while, then we prioritize it and we make sure that we get it done. You make sure to get your hair done. You make sure to take a shower. So may we be people full of prayer, people full of God's presence. One thing that I want us to do as a church, since I spoke of this discipline of solitude and silence, we're in a room with a whole bunch of people, so solitude might be a little hard because we're all here. But I want us to take 3 minutes just to have silence, which being silent with people can feel really, really awkward. So I'll admit that right now. But it can also be good not to have me speaking, not to have music playing, not to have people fumbling around with things, not to have people writing on pencils and papers, but for us to just give God 3 minutes right now to listen, to be at rest. And maybe you'll have nothing, and it'll just be a good time to have had nothing else having to run through your head. So let's take 3 minutes, and then I'll pray after that.
last. It's my day of getting things done inside.
Wait, how long does that actually take you to get through that? Does it take you the whole week, or just depends on your house?
This is last week's sermon.
Oh, is in the editing
to upload. Yeah, I put it online.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you for your words that you keep speaking to us. And when we get busy, I pray that you would remind us that our hearts find their rest in you. May it be true of us, just as it is written in the Psalms, that my soul finds rest in God alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.